Time now here on RNIB Connect Radio for an update on the work of the RNIB Voice of the Customer focus groups. And this time it's all about finance and the effect that the cost of living crisis is having on blind and partially sighted people. And I'm lucky to say that I'm now joined by Ross Headley from the RNIB's Insight and Customer Voice team, along with Grace Hill, who is visually impaired, who took part in the recent focus groups around the finance and cost of living. Hello and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio, Grace and Ross.
Hello, thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Hi Toby, hi Grace.
Firstly, Ross, would you be able to outline for listeners what the Voice of the Customer research programme here at the RNIB is all about and how the focus groups fits in with all the research that the RNIB is doing around inclusion for blind and partially sighted people?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Toby. So essentially, this is part of our approach to put in the voice of blind and partially sighted people directly at the centre of what we do, and it helps to shape and direct our work on an ongoing basis. So every 3 months we speak to around 500 blind and partially sighted people through a survey and a series of focus groups, and we speak about a different issue each time, and this allows us to stay attuned to the issues that matter most to blind and partially sighted people and to respond to issues and needs in a timely and appropriate way.
Grace, you recently took part in the recent Voice of the Customer focus groups around finance and the cost of living. Why did you want to get involved in the focus groups, and why do you think it's so important for you and other blind and partially sighted people to take part in these groups?
I think I wanted to get involved because I always consider myself as a massive advocate for change. I kind of think I'm quite lucky in the sense that I'm very able. Obviously, there are varying degrees of disability, of vision impairment, and whilst I am fully blind, I'm very able in that, as you can see, I can speak for myself, I can send an email or campaign as part of a focus group. And I like to think that I can use the voice that I'm so lucky to have to campaign and to help people who might not necessarily have that voice.
Yeah, because I think it's nice that, you know, sort of as visually impaired people, we're able to support other visually impaired people who, as you say, might not necessarily have the confidence to be sort of active and promoting better living and inclusion for blind and partially sighted people.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing is, it's all well and good us sitting there and saying, for example, this website is inaccessible, or there's a stairway here that's in the way or whatever. But I think if we have the power and the voice to do something about that, rather than, for want of a better word, sitting whining about it, we've got a golden opportunity in these focus groups to speak up.
And were the focus group meetings enjoyable and fun too? Because, you know, they must be fun as well.
I thought they were really good fun. It was a lovely, friendly, safe social space that everybody felt open and able to share their experiences.
Ross, what have you learnt from the key findings of the recent Voice of the Customer focus group meetings?
So as you said at the top of the show, Toby, the focus for this round was on finances and cost of living, and I just want to share three things that came across strongly. The first area is around the shift towards digital financial services and cashless transactions, which, as we're all aware, has been accelerated by the pandemic. And whilst this was seen as convenient and empowering for many blind and partially sighted people, some are being left behind. And those struggling with the changing landscape often lack the knowledge or the confidence to use technology and understand the benefits that it can bring. And on top of this, financial services and businesses don't really understand the issues faced by blind and partially sighted people and how to support them. So that might mean that they don't provide information in accessible formats, or that their staff don't really understand how to engage with blind and partially sighted people. The second point is that we knew from previous research that blind and partially sighted people are more likely to live in a low-income household and face additional costs due to their sight loss, as well as appearing to be hit harder by the recent increases in cost of living than the wider population. And this is linked to things like lighting and public transport and the increased costs there. So whilst nearly half of blind and partially sighted people are comfortable financially, nearly a third can only cover the essentials, and more than one in 10 are struggling. And the final point I wanted to share is that too many blind and partially sighted people are unable to manage their finances independently. In fact, our survey showed that only 2 in 5 are doing that. And also, many blind and partially sighted people don't feel able to contribute to their household income equitably. And this is yet another aspect of life which can build up to affect a person's sense of identity and confidence, and which can impact negatively on well-being and a sense of belonging.
And I suppose, you know, sort of with finances going all electronic and sort of contactless payments and everything else nowadays, it's probably a little bit less easy to keep a track on your finances if you haven't got access to that technology. If you, you know, when you tap your card, you're not sure of how much you've actually paid and keeping track of things. So it is an extra burden, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be. And what really came across was that divide between people that were actually sort of finding that they were benefiting from this shift to the digital, and that, you know, things like branch closures didn't really bother them because, you know, it meant that they didn't have to kind of make a journey to a part of town. They could just kind of do everything online. So for many people, they really saw the benefits of that. But those that are sort of less tech savvy can feel like they're being left behind with this shift.
Grace, would you be able to share your own experiences on finance and how the cost of living crisis has been maybe affecting you? I mean, how do you manage your own finances and how has the cost of living crisis affected you as a visually impaired person?
I think luckily I'm, I guess, in a good position in that I still live at home. So my family largely helped me manage my finances. And of course, because of that, also the cost of living hasn't had a massive effect on me individually, but obviously it could on the family situation. I think the trouble is you do incur extra costs as a result of having a vision impairment or disability. And I think some of those are things that you probably wouldn't necessarily think of. For example, the assistive technology that needs charging up, the assistive technology that needs buying in the first place. These pieces of equipment are very expensive. And if somebody needs a piece of assistive technology in this cost of living crisis, they could end up really having to pay for that. There are pieces of technology that could really open up someone's world, like their education or their daily life or something like that. And you have to buy them in the first place, and they're very expensive. And then charge them, which costs for electricity. If they then need repairing, that's more cost. And you have to kind of, there are other costs that you incur as a result of disabilities as well, like washing, electricity, lighting, more lighting needed if you've got a vision impairment, food. And it's just, people don't think about these little things. People do talk about food and stuff, but one thing people, I kind of feel, overlook is the technological costs and stuff. You need this equipment and these things in the first place, but they just cost so much.
I think you're totally right there, Grace. I think a lot of people are unaware of the extra costs that blind and partially sighted people face. I mean, lighting, some people might think, well, why does somebody who's visually impaired need extra lighting? But that all costs. If you need extra light to light up your home to be able to see what you're doing, that's an extra cost as well. Ross, what happens with all this sort of research and why is it so important to have Grace and other blind and partially sighted people involved in the focus groups?
Yes, really important question, Toby. So what we learn from speaking to blind and partially sighted people directly influences the way that we engage government and the conversations that we have with, in this case, financial services and retail sector. So when we speak to government or the private sector, we've been feeding in the barriers which need addressing, as well as the things which blind and partially sighted people tell us enable them to have a good experience of managing their finances or making payments, which allow them to live independently. Our CEO spoke last month at a high-level financial inclusion policy forum. It was hosted by the Economic Secretary to the Treasury, and he was able to feed in many of these issues to representatives from banks and other organisations who are around that table. Next month in April, we're going to be running a parliamentary event on the cost of living crisis. And picking up on the research findings, which stressed that people with sight loss are being disproportionately impacted by spiralling costs, which Grace has spoken about earlier, we're pushing the UK government to develop a social energy tariff, which would mean offering a lower rate for those most struggling with energy bills. And we're also calling for the benefit rate to be reviewed. So there are just a few examples of how this work, how the findings from speaking to blind and partially sighted people are being used to influence and create positive changes.
And finally, Ross, if listeners would like to get involved in some of the research, such as the Voice of the Customer focus groups, where is the best place for people to go and find out more and get involved?
Yeah, so if people want to get involved either in the focus groups or the survey, and if you want to help shape RNIB's work and direct where we focus our efforts, you can call our helpline on 0303 123 9999, or you can email our involvement team at customervoice@rnib.org.uk.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Ross and Grace, for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about the great work that the Voice of the Customer focus group does and all the other research that the RNIB does around inclusion for blind and partially sighted people.
Thanks, Toby. And I'd also like to thank Grace as well for taking part today and in the focus groups, and extend that thanks to all of the focus group participants and those that take part in our survey. Thank you.
I would like to thank Ross and Toby for the opportunity to get involved in the focus group and this interview piece, and also to thank RNIB for the opportunity to get involved in the focus groups and the fantastic volunteering opportunities they offer.